IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with Bob Plaschke. Bob, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Thanks, Donnie. Thanks for having me on. Good to talk to you, as always.
Well, it's great to talk to you. Most people out in the audience know you as a leader at Sonom Technologies and a huge public safety broadband advocate. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing now?
Well, Donnie, my last day at Sonom Technologies was last Thursday, wrapping up almost kind of 15 plus years as the CEO there. As you know, we were able to successfully take the company public on NASDAQ almost a year ago. I couldn't be more proud of what we were, the small part we played in helping move, making broadband a reality for public safety. Now I'm super excited about a bunch of things I'm doing, and would love to talk to you about them tonight.
All right. Well, first off, you did not play a small role. I mean, honestly, a lot of people question whether we would ever have any Band 14 devices, and you and Sonom really stepped up there and changed a lot of long-held perceptions of people that said, oh, well, if it's LTE, you know, it can't be something that is durable enough to handle for first responders. So we thank you for that.
I appreciate that, Donnie. I mean, I think you guys have been reporting on the big take rates you've seen in terms of public safety and related officials using FirstNet for the responding to the COVID crisis. And it's times like these you're just super happy, right? That the folks made back in 2013 pushed for this legislation to get passed, and we and all of us did our part to get the network up and running, because it's times like these where that kind of preemptive experience and that ability to have a dedicated broadband capability is super important. And, you know, it's really is saving lives as we speak. And so, you know, I think we all can be proud of what we were able to accomplish in that context.
Well, it's very interesting to watch it happen. All these things that people talked about theoretically, to watch it happen in real life, for sure. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit right now about something that is wireless and broadband, but not necessarily public safety, and that is the Citizen Broadband Radio Service. You know, those of us who grew up in the 70s remember Citizens Band Radio, and this is very different. but I mean, a lot of people hear a lot of buzzwords out there. You hear Citizens Broadband Radio Service, or CBRS. They hear 3.5 gigahertz. They hear private LTE. Can you tell us a little bit, how are these things related, and how could they impact the wireless community going forward?
Absolutely. Well, CBRS, or this 3.5 megahertz band, is just another step in creating spectrum for the enterprise, primarily in this case for the enterprise, to use to achieve its missions. This spectrum was actually held by the Navy, and it managed to kind of help the Navy manage getting boats in and out of harbors. And a few years back, a number of folks kind of put their hand up inside the Navy and outside and said, hey, you know, look, if we can guarantee that you won't be interfered in doing what you need to do in these harbors, can we free up the spectrum, and it's about 150 megahertz of spectrum, so it's a lot of spectrum. So whatever, it's seven times the band, you know, the band class 14. Can we free it up, and can we free it up for the rest of the country? After a lot of hard work, the Navy was convinced that they could free it up. The FCC created 80 megahertz of unlicensed, or called GAA spectrum, which is used, people are beginning to use as we speak. And they're just about to auction off 70 megahertz of what are called PAL, are licenses for 70 megahertz in an auction coming up in July.
Okay, and that PALs for priority access licenses, right?
That's correct. And the way it works, it's a little bit analogous to kind of band class 14 and the other LTE bands. So if you have a device, a router, so to speak, that can broadcast in the CBRS range, it'll broadcast out. It can always have access to the GAA, the 80 megahertz. But if there's contention, people will be throttled back, just like it would happen in a normal LTE experience on a carrier network. These priority access licenses, the 70 megahertz, are kind of individual lanes, each of them 10 megahertz each, and they'll act as kind of a preemptive or a prioritized experience. And so if you buy one of these licenses, let's say you're a utility or a hospital or a UPS facility, then you'll be guaranteed 10 megahertz bandwidth. What's super interesting about this is that you won't be guaranteed a particular slice of the 150. It may move from day to day or from week to week, but you'll always be guaranteed 10 megahertz. And that way you have the most effective kind of multiplexing of that spectrum. You get the most out of it, so to speak, by just ensuring 10 megahertz, not necessarily 10 contiguous megahertz spectrum. So it's pretty cool stuff, pretty cool technology.
Very cool, yeah. So what are the potential impacts in terms of maybe outdoors versus indoors? How are people going to use this spectrum?
So the spectrum, it's called this mid-band range. It has about an attenuation of about 1 mile. So it doesn't. It's not intended for long distances. It's intended for pumping a lot of data in kind of a campus-like environment. And it will clearly be used in which we think campus-wide environments. So think of college campuses or football stadiums. Or hospitals, where you have three or four buildings that you can, in effect, put an antenna in the middle and beam. It has very good penetration rates as well, so you can beam through the building locations. And so a very good kind of, like I said, campus-like context. Think of it on an indoor context in a manufacturing construct, where maybe you'd go into a Ford Motor factory and you'd have, they have 100 Wi-Fi hotspots, which, and challenges in terms of moving between the hotspots to keep them coordinated and secure. Here you have four antennas on, on the corners of the building, and you can light up, so to speak, the entire factory line. It brings a lot more spectrum to the table than Wi-Fi. It brings it obviously in a larger swath. It brings all of the features, which is super important, all the features that a normal LTE system brings with it. So you'll have a SIM card, you'll have a logon process, you'll have a better authentication, a better security context. So it'll be a more secure, more reliable experience than a Wi-Fi experience.
Okay, so you like quality of service, priority and preemption if I need it, and is it lower latency than regular Wi-Fi as well?
I don't know. I don't know in terms of the latency. It brings a lot more bandwidth, and so you certainly aren't going to be fighting for contention. And I should have mentioned, if you can imagine, airports are a perfect example where, indeed, today it's kind of a catch as catch can if you can get a good Wi-Fi signal. By the way, kind of funny to talk about airports when we haven't been in an airport for a few weeks, but when we all get back into flying. It'll be a perfect upgrade to provide a much more reliable experience. The interesting thing, Donnie, that most people don't realize is that most of the newer handsets now already come CBRS enabled. So the new iPhones, the new Samsungs are CBRS enabled, as are a number of the new models that Zebra has produced along with Motorola. So there's a far greater number of devices that are available. Usually, devices like the band class 14. Usually, the devices take a few years to follow. In this case, the industry's done a good job of pulling forward all the different dimensions of the ecosystem almost simultaneous to the auction.
Okay. And so, if I'm an enterprise, do I need to necessarily bid in this auction? And is this something? Hey, especially if I want to do some kind of an Internet of Things. Type application within my campus and stuff. Do I necessarily need to bid on an auction, or can I sublease it from somebody else? Or are there any kind of set business models as to how all this is going to work?
Well, a lot of that's emerging as we speak. Now, now that if indeed you're listening to this podcast over the next couple of days, and you had an inclination to bid, I'm afraid it's too late. The bidding deadline is tomorrow night on Thursday. If you chose not to bid, and for sure the vast majority of enterprises have not bid, there'll be a number of the LMR dealers that will be bidding. There'll be a number of utilities. There'll be a number of the cable providers. And from those folks, if indeed you want a licensed experience, you can then reach out to them. There's an interesting twist to CBRS, Donnie. They're called SASs. And you know what the acronym stands for? I always get wrong.
I do not know that.
But these service providers, these SASs, basically act as kind of as referees, so to speak. So every night there's four of them. Federated Wireless is one of them. Google's running another one. ComScore is a third. All of the routers that run on the spectrum, they all check in. Interestingly enough, they check in with these SAS providers. They indicate what frequency they're using. They indicate what kind of range, kind of where they are, lat and long. And the SASs work together to ensure that all the frequencies are managed so that, in effect, there is no contention. These SASs, though, like Federated, are going to be where enterprises will go and say, gee, I'd like to go ahead and license. And so tell me who has the license for this and how can I be connected to them. And that will be the way they are creating, in effect, an open marketplace for broadband, which in itself is a really, really interesting concept, the ability to actually buy broadband on demand and buy it from a number of different sources. That's something that really isn't done today.
Okay, and SAS, I looked it up, stands for Spectrum Access Systems. And, and I guess it'll be interesting from the standpoint of, in some parts of the country, this may be in high demand. In other parts, hey, you know what? I may just, a GAA may be just fine because there's not a lot of contention. And it's just a question of what your situation is in your individual location, right?
That's exactly right. And I think the FCC did a great job in terms of setting this up. There's 80 megahertz for those who, either are in a rural community or are, let's say a college campus, maybe they aren't so worried about contention. Maybe sometimes the experience isn't the best. And then there'll be entities like hospitals who will use this to wire all of their medical systems, where they'll absolutely want a license so that they can guarantee that 10 or 20 megahertz and making sure that the performance is what they need. If you think about a factory where they're, and in fact, there's already, I don't think it's public, but there's a number of kind of next generation car manufacturers that are using CBRS to manage their robotic processes. You can imagine in that context, even if you're in the middle of nowhere, you're going to probably still want a license because, who knows who might build next to you and around you, and you just want to have a guaranteed service. So as you said, it has different flavors for different use cases. I do want to kind of give a shout out though to, the LMR community. I think those folks who the dealers who have historically done a great job of providing communication capabilities to their customers on a state and local basis. This is a wonderful new opportunity for them. This is a wonderful way for them to expand and to add on top of what they're already doing with LMR today to provide this new broadband experience. It's something that, as you can imagine, enterprises aren't going to be bidding in and are not likely bidding in, and enterprises need to be educated and they need to be connected. And this is something that LMR dealers are perfectly aligned to do. So I'm really excited for this, for those folks who out there that have spent decades building great relationships with those enterprises.
Well, exactly. And they're used to providing private narrowband networks, for enterprises and of all kinds, and now this is going to give them a chance to help these people realize private broadband networks, right?
Well, I think that's right. I think to some degree, when FirstNet, that legislation came out, you to some degree, you had this kind of we versus them. It was kind of like the old versus the new. And what I think we're seeing now, including, I think, what the Harris folks said in their announcements, you're seeing now is that you're seeing a seamless integration between LMR and LTE on the public safety side. And, you know, people are kind of figuring out how to work together. I think you're going to see exactly the same thing on the enterprise side. And these commercial LMR dealers who have wired folks up before are perfectly positioned now to help those enterprises replace, in some cases, Wi-Fi, in some cases, put broadband in for the first time on their factory floors. They're perfectly positioned to help those enterprises make this next leap into what we are calling the industrial 5G transformation. Because we don't say it a lot, but CBRS is the first example of a 5G experience. And so it's kind of a cool way of these enterprises starting to put their toe, if not their entire leg, into the 5G kind of 5G experience.
Well put. It's going to be exciting to watch, and I appreciate you, Bob, explaining exactly how all this is going to work, and it'll be exciting to see how all this transpires over the next several years. Bob, thank you again for taking the time to speak with us today.
Well, Donnie, absolutely. If anyone has questions or anything I can do to help them better understand, you can go to my LinkedIn page or you can go to plashke.bob@gmail.com and I'm happy to help. It was just great to catch up with you, Donnie. Thank you for all you do for our industry. You have been a steady kind of source of the facts and of the truths. It's great to, it's a pleasure and an honor to spend time with you.
Well, thanks a bunch, Bob. And I'm glad to know that you're still going to be in the game here.
Absolutely, pal.
All right. Have a good one.